For the past 2 years, we've experienced changes in how we live and work. We've experienced limitations in our movement within the city and travel outside the city. We've experienced restrictions that have affected relationships, family gatherings, church life, and the freedom to do as we please. In all of this, simple civility has lost ground, and impatience has gained ground. And so on this last Sunday of 2021, I want to talk about patience. And I want to do this as a reminder of what we can be, and as God's people, what we ought to be, in spite of the circumstances. I'm going to base what I'm going to talk on four scriptures, and I'm going to read all four of them, and then we'll look at the idea of patience. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 says, "Love is patient." That's where it begins. That's the first statement in that whole list of statements about love. Love is patient. But the next statement is just as important. Love is kind. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 says this, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you." Psalm 37, verses 7 through 9. "Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil doing. For evil doers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land." And the last of the four is James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve or does not succeed in accomplishing the righteousness of God." Let's pray. Father, speak to us today. Speak to us about this issue, this matter, this way of life, this whole idea of patience. Show us your way, the value of it, and the reasonableness of it. I pray in Christ's name, amen. As I read in 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is patient and love is kind. These two virtues, patience and kindness, they go hand in hand, like soup and sandwich, horse and carriage. Yes, patience and kindness go hand in hand. And I want to say this because I think it's important for us to realize that when we become impatient, we abandon kindness. And we abandon kindness for some other more motivating response that we hope will have a better chance of getting what we want when we want it, or at least sooner than we'd otherwise get it if we continued to be patient. The reports of people in grocery stores or airports or fast food restaurants of impatience. It's just sad. And once we become impatient, we do abandon kindness. And in abandoning kindness, we also abandon love. You see, love is patient, love is kind. And in abandoning love, the only responses left fall within the sphere of selfishness, which naturally leads to being unkind. Being unkind to those around us as we are expressing our impatience. Psalm 37, verse 8, gives some examples of unloving, unkind behavior driven by impatience when it says, cease from anger. Impatience and anger also go hand in hand. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. And the point is that impatience breeds the kind of attitudes, words, and deeds that fit the definitions of anger, wrath, and fretting. Those are common results from impatience, common expressions of impatience. And though impatience isn't confined to these three evils, I think that we can easily identify with these three manifestations of patience, and by that means make it easier for us to realize the evil side of impatience. It isn't just being impatient. It's abandoning love and kindness and doing harm as a result of that. My experience is that too many accept impatience as a normal response to certain situations. Well, what am I supposed to do? Well, wouldn't you be impatient too? Aren't we supposed to care? I mean, after all, we have all these reasons why impatience is almost a normal response to certain kinds of situations. And yet, once we do that, once we accept impatience as a normal response, we not only accept and adjust and justify impatience, we are accepting and justifying abandoning love and abandoning kindness. And when we do that, we become insensitive to the people around us and how our behavior affects them. We don't really care how it affects them, actually, at those moments. What we care about is getting what we want when we want it. What I'm wanting you to see is that impatience not only increases selfishness and unkindness in our homes and in our world, it damages relationships, and it also corrodes character. Now you may be wondering how impatience corrodes your character. Well, it goes like this. When you resort to selfishness and unkind responses when impatient, you feed selfishness. You feed the selfishness that is by nature in all of us. And when you feed selfishness, it becomes stronger. And as it becomes stronger, you are more prone to abandon love and kindness the next time you become impatient. You make it harder for yourself to remain patient and easier to express in harmful, hurtful, unloving, unkind ways your impatience. However, by God's grace, the opposite is true. The more we choose patience so as to remain loving and kind, the more we nurture love and kindness. The more we feed that part of our being, the more we strengthen that part of our character. And the more we are prone to choose love and kindness the next time our patience is tested. I want to acknowledge that there's no question that at least at first, patience is hard while impatience is easy. And impatience gets reinforced as a reasonable option when it gets you what you want when you want it. Whenever sin works, it reinforces that sin is a better way. And sadly, at first, sin works a lot of the time. Impatience works a lot of the time. But that only reinforces that impatience is a reasonable option. So how do we feed patience and combat impatience? How do we become godly Christians in this area when it might mean being taken advantage of or having to wait for what is rightfully yours or having to do without what you should already have or watching others move ahead while you get left behind? Or serving instead of being served. Or watching the ungodly benefit from their ungodliness while you suffer for your righteousness. How do we feed patience in those kinds of situations? Well, the scripture speaks to that. The path to patience is made straight and reasonable when we believe, when we choose to trust God to be our provider and protector, when we choose to believe and trust God to cause all things to work together for good, when we love Him and live according to His will, Romans 8:28, when we believe that every good thing and every perfect gift comes from God Himself, James 1:17, and when we believe that it is God who supplies all our needs, according to His riches in glory, Philippians 4:19. We have to believe right. We have to think right. We have to have the right perspective. And all of that comes from the Word of God in regards to patience. David put it this way in Psalm 37, and I'm just going to read part of verse 7 and part of verse 9. He said, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." What's the hard part of that? The hard part is believing that God is even active when life is falling apart around you and you want to just jam it all back together. It's hard to believe that God cares if you don't see the response you want as soon as you want it. That's the hard part. Rest in the Lord. Rest. Relax. Lay back in the easy chair and just let God take over and do what He's going to do. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And then David says in verse 9, "For those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land." In other words, what David is saying here is that resting in the Lord and waiting patiently for Him to act sets you up to inherit the land. And for me, that is a picture that Jesus used in the Beatitudes. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Same idea. So, yes, it requires trust that God is good, that He will take care of you, even when you're being taken advantage of, even when you have to wait for what is rightfully yours, or even when you have to do without what you should already have. Yes, it means waiting patiently for God to act. And from the human perspective, that's difficult. But from a godly, biblical, Christian, this is what really works perspective. It may still be somewhat challenging, but it's very reasonable, sensible, and it's the way we ought to live. You see, patience is an outgrowth of resting in the Lord. Giving Him time to act. Giving Him time to do what He's going to do. Giving Him time to work it out for good. Giving Him time to bring justice. Giving Him time to change your family member. Giving Him time to work out things on the job. Or in other settings where we want something to happen right now. Patience is an outgrowth of resting in the Lord. Of waiting patiently for Him to bring about the greatest good possible, no matter how long it takes. And waiting for the Lord brings about inheriting the land. And to me, to inherit anything, you have to be alive. I mean, just get the picture. To inherit something, you have to be alive, and the person who has the items that you're inheriting has to die. So there has to be someone still living and someone who has passed away. It's the only way you can inherit. And this two-person example, for me, is a powerful picture of reality under God's care and protection. And it simply goes like this. Those we have had to be patient with, those who have taken advantage of us, those who have used us, those who have failed us, mistreated us, not once, but over and over and over again, those who have made us do without what we should already have, those who have frustrated us to no end, they will die. And we will still be alive to inherit all that they left behind. While they were getting ahead at our expense, and we were so-called losing, God was keeping account. God does keep an account. And all of that will be made right. This is God's justice. This is God's protection. This is God's response to their evil behavior. This is God's show of force and activity and justice and love and mercy when we rest in Him and wait patiently for Him to act. This brings us to Colossians 3, 12 and 13, which we've already read. So I want to just work through these two verses to make a few points about what is said here. Because this scripture gives us directions concerning what we need to intentionally do. And I think that word is important. Intentional. We have to be intentional. You have to have a plan and work the plan. This scripture gives us directions concerning what we need to intentionally do in order to gain the trust in God required to build patience and learn to wait patiently for Him. So, beginning at verse 12, the first part, it says, as those who have been chosen of God. So this portion of scripture is for believers. God doesn't do this for unbelievers. He does it for those who belong to Him. So this is for believers. And this is within the ways of God working for His people. The second part of verse 12, put on. Just two words, put on. And this is the intentional part. God gives us the responsibility to put on those virtues and character qualities that change us from distrusting, impatient, self-centered, unkind people into godly Christians, hopefully who are known for our patience. But being responsible and carrying out our responsibility are two different things. God has given us the responsibility, He says, put on. But it's up to us to carry out that responsibility. The next part, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And notice that in this case, patience is at the end of the list. And I know I made the point that love is patient, love is kind, and we abandon unkindness when we abandon patience. Patience and kindness go together. But I want to point out that this particular list takes us in the right direction. You need compassion. You need a sense of kindness. You need genuine humility. You need to want to be gentle in order to be more naturally patient. So that list of qualities that leads us up to the word patience are important for being patient. And when we have this list active in our lives, we will add good to the world rather than more disappointment or more hurt or more sin in spite of what it costs us. And then verse 13, the statement is this, bearing with. And that bearing with simply means being patient with. Be patient with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Bearing with, forgiving. These are the practical expressions of patience in a relationship where the other party repeatedly fails us or hurts us or disappoints us or frustrates us. Does this mean we have to approve of their behavior? Absolutely not. Does this mean we can't tell them their behavior is hurtful or wrong or inappropriate? No, we can tell them. But it means we should always be patient with them. One of the things I've encouraged us as a church to avoid doing is never say, "How could you?" Never say, "How could you?" Because once we say that, we are forgetting that we ourselves have done things where surely God wants to say, "How could you?" But as we read in Psalm 103, He is a compassionate Father who does not deal with us according to our sins. He understands our weaknesses. He knows we are but dust. Do we understand that about the people around us? How could they? Just as easily as I could. That's how they could. Now, I may never do what they do. I may never even get close to doing the things they do. But I've done things that they would never do. And I've done things that you might never do. How could I? How could you? Bearing with, being patient with, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. And though this is difficult, when you're living with somebody that's difficult, it is possible with God's help and His work within us. And that's why I really appreciate Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. All right, you may be thinking that I've oversimplified this whole matter and implied that what is impossible, or at least really hard, is possible or even easy. We read in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city." How could that be? Well, Solomon's point, as I understand it, is that it takes more preparation, more determination, more perseverance, and more power to control impatience and its manifestations than to capture a well-fortified, well-defended city. All right, so let me say that one more time. It takes more preparation, planning ahead, preparing for. It takes more determination, commitment, zeal, drive, motivation. It takes more perseverance, toughing it out to the end. And it takes more power, personal discipline, self-discipline, the power of self-discipline, to control impatience and its manifestations than to capture a well-fortified, well-defended city. And why is the one so much harder than the other? You may not believe this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Conquering a city only requires defeating and subduing that which is outside yourself. Conquering impatience requires defeating and subduing that which is within. And in this life, you will face no stronger or more formidable or more stubborn opponent than yourself. He is every bit a king who can control himself. He is every bit the master who can control himself. And we think being the king and the master is controlling others. Yes, it does include that. But controlling ourselves, controlling myself, this is where the biggest battle lies. If you're looking for further motivation to conquer impatience, consider this. Impatience damages reputation. And I'm specifically speaking of your reputation and my reputation. The reality is, impatience damages your reputation. It makes you look worse in the eyes of others, not better. While patience builds it and solidifies it. And so, and I mean this respectfully, just making the point, if not for God's sake, and if not for the sake of those nearest and dearest to you, work at being patient for the sake of your own reputation, for the sake of looking better to the world around you. I want to conclude by reminding you that patience is one of God's character qualities. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Patience is a manifestation of love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Patience is a manifestation of faith in God's care, provision, protection, and justice. Psalm 37. And patience is a manifestation of Christ-likeness. Ephesians 4, 1-3, Colossians 3, 12 and 13, and 1 Peter 2, verses 18-20. And so, when faced with a situation that tries your patience, as we all have been and we will again and again, my encouragement to you is to remember these words from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. Do not grow weary of doing good. How easy it is to grow weary of doing good, especially when others get away with doing bad. Do not grow weary of doing good, the scripture says. And then Hebrews 12, verse 3. Consider him, that is, Jesus Christ. Consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Patience is a virtue. It is the way of God, and it certainly is godliness.